singing. If you're still with me after that, thank you. I'm sorry. Today I'm going to do something a little bit different. I am going to be answering some of your questions about launching. I put up a question box on my Instagram and there were some really great questions in there, and I thought I did answer them on my Instagram stories, but I also want to talk about it a bit more in depth on the podcast as well, because I know that when people actually take the initiative to ask me, it usually means that it's on the minds of lots of you. So I am really looking forward to this one. I love a little question box, I have to say. So let's get cracking. So the first question that was asked to me about launching was, what is the best way to do market research? And before you click off, I know that market research is not the sexiest subject ever, but it is so, so important, both competitor market research and also just market research with your ideal clients and going out and speaking to your ideal clients. And I kind of just said the answer there in itself. The best way to do market research is to actually get on Zoom and talk to your ideal clients. There are a few things that I highly recommend that you do, and that is to reach out to people that hopefully you have some kind of relationship with. It doesn't matter if you don't, but it is preferable. And the reason is because it's a great way to nurture people. It's a great way to actually get to know people that you think might actually be a warm lead or might be someone that could buy from you in the future. Good way of starting connections, creating connections, and building those relationships. So I would recommend reaching out to a few people who A, you know, or B, just are a really good fit for your programs, your offers, and ask them specific questions in relation to whatever it is that you're wanting to release. So for example, if you are releasing a program about launching, like I am soon to be, I would get on the phone with people who run an online business and I would say, have you ever launched before? What was your experience like with it? How would you like to feel when you launched? If you were to take a program about launching, what are the kinds of things you would like to learn about? What are some extra bonuses that you would find helpful, like email sequences or what done for you things would be helpful, because that will help me actually build the program out. I would also say, what kinds of content would you like to see around launching? What would be helpful for you? What would you like to learn more about? What topics would you like to see covered in this program? If you were to take a program on launching, what kind of outcome would you want to see for yourself? And just keep digging, keep asking these questions, because the more you ask, and this is the brilliant part about being on a call with someone, is that they'll talk more versus if you're just DMing someone or if you get them to fill out a survey, that's better than nothing, but people won't type for as long. They won't give you as much information. It's best to just get on a call with someone and people will elaborate, and you can also delve a little bit deeper. So if someone gives you a couple of word answers, if you say, how was your last launch? And they say, oh, it was actually really, really stressful. Then that's a cue for you to be like, why was it stressful? What was the most stressful part about that launch for you? What would you have liked to have felt instead of the stress? Is there anything you think would have better supported you during that time when you felt stressed? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you can kind of delve a bit deeper and ask those questions. So the best way to do market research and answer to that question is to get on the phone with ideal clients. Most people are more than happy to do that. Just simply reach out. Hey, I would love, if possible, to get on a call with you, just like a 15-minute chat. I'm creating a program about X, Y, and Z. And yeah, we'd just love to pick your brain a little bit. No pitch, nothing. And most people are happy to do that. Next question, what are some good ways to warm up your audience? Warming up your audience is not rocket science. It is about producing high quality content that educates them and raises awareness on their issues in relation to your offer. So say if you're a weight loss coach, the first phase of your content really is about building awareness around the problems, around things that they're not doing that are holding them back, or things they are doing that's stopping them from seeing the results. It's all about positioning yourself as an authority, and embodiment content is a really good way to do that. So embodiment content is all about, okay, how are you walking the walk and talking the talk? How are you embodying the results that your ideal clients want? So that's a big one as well. It's also about teasing the crap out of your offer. If you've ever listened to me speak about teasing or launching in general before, I probably mention teasing in every single episode. And that's because it is so important. In my opinion, the most important part of a launch is the part before you actually launch. It's the teasing. It's telling people this offer is coming. This is what the offer is. This is what the offer is going to do for you. This is the transformation you're going to expect after doing this offer. And you want everyone in your audience to know about this offer before you even open doors. Don't be mysterious. Don't be secretive about it. That is such a good way to warm up your audience. Having conversations with people is a really great way to warm up your audience. You can probably gauge if your audience is a little bit on the colder side, if you're not really getting much engagement, if people aren't really asking you questions, if you just have a sense sometimes. And I know this sounds really like woo-woo, wishy-washy, but I can tell if my audience feel a little bit colder. Generally speaking, it's after a launch. So if I've just launched something, I'll give it a little bit of a break and start creating more educational content, nurture my audience again, build that trust back. Not that I lost it, but you know what I mean? Just don't hit them over the head all the time with promotional content. And then start to create all of your content geared around the topic that you're going to be launching on. And then teasing the hell out of your offer and conversations, the best way to warm up your audience. Great messaging as well, goes without saying. So you need to make sure that you're actually saying the right things to build buying desire, and that will warm them up. But that's a whole nother topic in itself. Okay, another person said, another question, I feel like you need to do a lot of free work in order to get anywhere with launches. And I thought this was a really interesting question because what is free work? I mean, I would consider free work being like, okay, this question can kind of go one of two ways. It can be you have to have lots of beta clients in order to gain social proof and then launch. Or what I think this person is referring to is that you have to do a lot of free shit in order to sell stuff. In the sense that a lot of content creation, a lot of giving value, maybe you host a free masterclass, things like that. And to that question, I would say, yeah, I actually think you do. And the reason is because you need your people to trust you, and you need to show your audience that you are someone that knows their shit, that can educate them on a topic. You're someone that is an authority on this area. And giving people value and giving people free things builds reciprocity. And in sales psychology, the theory of reciprocity is all about basically, if I give you something, you will feel more likely, or you are more likely to give something back to me. And this isn't in a manipulative sense. It's just how humans work. It's if you're much more likely to buy, if you've got two coaches, right, or two service providers or whatever, and they're both launching the exact same offer, but one of them gives a lot of value in their content. They show up a lot. They're very visible. Maybe they host a free masterclass before their offer. And then the second person only promotes. They're not being educational at all. You're not really learning anything from their content. They're just kind of, promoting their offer the whole time. They don't do a masterclass, which again is fine sometimes. Like, I don't always do a masterclass, definitely not. But they don't give a lot. And who are you more likely to buy from? You're more likely to buy from the person that has given you a lot of value and built that trust with you. And that's what giving things for free does for people. I would not be where I am had I just shown up and sold my offers. I make sure that people are learning from me constantly and that I'm always offering some form of value, because who's going to want to watch my content and who's going to want to engage in this podcast if all I'm doing is selling? And I'm talking about selling in the overt sense, like buy this, you know, we're always selling in some sense, but yeah. So interesting question. And I went on a bit of a tangent there, but that's what I would say. Yeah, I think you do need to do quite a bit of free stuff in order to get anywhere with a launch. But I feel like the way that question was worded was felt maybe a little negative. I think just flip the way you're looking at it. It's you're giving value in exchange for landing clients. And I think that's a better way of looking at it. You're serving your clients and then they're more likely to buy from you, or your potential clients, I should say. Another question, in a nutshell, list all the steps for a successful launch. Okay. For a successful launch, and actually, I'm going to refer you guys to the previous podcast. I'm going to talk about it. Don't worry. I'm not going to be like, go here. But I will say that I did last week's podcast episode was all about steps for a stress-free launch. I would recommend going back there and having a listen because I go into a lot more depth. But I would say, generally speaking, the first step is to reverse engineer your launch. What date are you going to open your cart? What date are you going to do, if you're going to do a waitlist, if you're going to do a big freebie, a big masterclass or something like that, mapping out the dates and then reverse engineering what you need to do. So if you do a masterclass, okay, what steps are involved in that? Right, you might need to create an opt-in page. You need to create some slides. You need to allow a week to actually funnel people into a masterclass. So really being very clear about what that's going to look like for you and how long you need to complete those tasks. That's the first step, is just getting really clear. Okay, what kind of launch am I doing? Am I doing the masterclass? Am I doing a waitlist? Is it a more stripped back kind of launch? Okay, putting dates in the calendar, working backwards about what you need to do. That is the first step. And then I would also say the biggest step, and I talk about this all the time, and I'm going to keep talking about it till I'm blue in the face, is teasing. I think that is the most important part of a launch, is building that awareness around your offer, building problem awareness with your ideal clients. Super, super important. And yeah. And if I'm going to go a step further back, it would be to validate your offer. Get on the phone with people, do your market research, especially if this is an offer that you've never launched before. I've actually done market research with offers that I've relaunched because I want to rejig my messaging, or I want to make sure that the content inside is still relevant and still fresh. So the last time I launched High Impact Sales School, which is a group coaching program that I ran, I had launched it, I think it was like 4 or 5 times. And I got on the phone with people during the last launch and I was like, what do you want to learn inside this? What are your biggest struggles when it comes to sales? And I created lots of content around it, lots of messaging around it. It informed what was going to be inside the program. And yes, it was different to what I initially thought. So always worth doing that, making sure your offer is validated by your audience. So you're selling something that people actually want. It's really, really important. So I would say, to recap that, validate your offer with market research. Then I would say reverse engineer your launch. What kind of launch are you going to do? What do you want your launch to look like? And then set some dates in your calendar and work backwards from that and make a to-do list. Right, okay, I need to get the sales page done and it needs to be done by this date. I need to do slides for the masterclass. It needs to be done by this date. I would also say, yes, conversations with people, getting your launch content ready. I mean, there's so many steps for a successful launch, if I'm being honest, which is why I'm creating Ready to Launch, my launching program. Nice little plug there. Okay, and another question, I really liked this one, and this is the final question for today. When do you do discovery calls? I don't want people that aren't fit for a group coaching program, but it's so much work when it's low ticket. Okay, I've got a few things to say about this question. Yes, we don't want to do discovery calls for a low ticket offer. Definitely not. However, I would have to say that group coaching program and low ticket offer should never be in the same sentence together. I personally only do sales calls for one-on-one coaching. I have occasionally done a sales call for a group coaching program, but very, very rarely. I don't offer them out. It's only if they really, really, really want to get on a call with me just to talk a few things through, then that's fine. But the only time I do discovery calls is for one-on-one coaching. And I actually like doing discovery calls for one-on-one coaching. I know people really bag discovery calls out. I actually prefer, in many ways, getting on a sales chat with someone who is going to be with me for a long time, because I get to know them a little bit more and I feel like I understand their needs much, much better. So yes, that's the only time I would do that. For low ticket, absolutely not. I don't offer discovery calls. I want to prime my audience. I want to get my audience to a place where they trust themselves to buy an offer that is under £197. Or if they do need to ask me a question, they can ask me a question in the DMs. They don't need to hop on a discovery call. Like, I would actually say, if someone reached out and said, can I do a call with you to talk about this offer? I'd be like, hey, really sorry. I don't actually do discovery calls because this is a low ticket offer. Ask me any questions here. More than happy to answer them for you in the DMs, that is. I wouldn't get on a call with someone for an offer under, you know, 300, 400 quid, if I'm being honest. And that's just personal preference. Everyone's different. Everyone wants to do different things, but low ticket, you don't need to. You want your audience to have all the information necessary to be able to buy that offer. mid and high ticket, fine. If you want to do discovery calls, do discovery calls. But your group coaching program should not be low ticket. And you shouldn't have to do discovery calls for a low ticket. All right, guys, as you're listening to this, I am in Greece. How nice. So, I mean, I'm not in Greece right now. I am coming to you from the past, but I'm also coming to you from the future. That's confusing. So hopefully I'll be lying somewhere near a body of water with hopefully a mojito in my hand. And I'm sure it's going to be glorious. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Ready to Launch is coming to you very, very soon, in just should be about 2 weeks. And I'm really excited for you guys to see this program because it's really going to change the way you launch forever. It's going to make your launches much less stressful. It's going to help you go into your launch feeling in control, feeling confident, knowing what to do from way before you open doors to way after you open, to way after you close your doors, and what to do in between. And you can rinse and repeat the strategies that you're going to learn for all of your launches so that you have people ready to jump in, ready to buy from you as soon as your offer is available. And that's what we all want, right? We just want to live a stress-free life. I've also got the application form below for my one-on-one coaching. So if you're wanting to work with me on a one-on-one basis and you're wanting to work with me for a long time, 4 months or 6 months, go and have a look. That is in the bio and we can have a chat about how we could potentially work together. It's for all-encompassing sales, marketing, and business coaching, but on a much more personal level. So maybe you want to work with me, but Ready to Launch might not be for you because it is a self-paced program. One-on-one coaching might be more up your street. All right, guys, I'm going to love you and leave you. Thank you so much for listening as always. I hope you're doing very well. And next time I talk to you, I will be back in Edinburgh. All right, guys, have a fab rest of your day and talk to you soon.